one, two. There we are. There we are. Sorry about that, guys. It is good to see each and every one of you. If you have your Bible, grab it. Open it up to James chapter 2. We are in the best summer ever. Amen. Okay, I am in the best summer ever. I don't know about you. I hope all of you had a great Independence Day holiday celebrating America's, what, 244th birthday, right? The greatest country on earth. This past Thursday night, I think we have a picture up as well. We had a group of us got together and we were at Owosso's gathering on Main, just trying to love on people and offering some tables for them to sit out here on our south parking lot. It was a fun night. Be looking for more information next time around if you guys want to be a part of that and join with us in August. And then today at 3 o'clock, almost said four. Today at 3 o'clock, everyone say 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Yeah, today at 3 o'clock, we're going to start our neighborhood outreach to the neighborhood here. And we're going to go over here off of 2nd in Atlanta. There's a patchy thing of grass that we're going to try to do some games, water games, and just snacks and a time of fellowship for the children here. I can't make any promises. We've handed out flyers, especially on Thursday night at the gathering. Not sure how many are going to show up, if any at all, right? But we're just going to take our 5 loaves and 2 fish and allow God to do with what he can with it. Amen. And so hopefully through the Spirit, that will grow and we'll start off today and we'll kick that off. If you want to be a part of that, be up here at the church at 2:45, and then we'll just walk over there as a big old group and go from there and see what God does, all right? Because here's the deal. This is what it really comes down to, and this is what James is going to get at in our life hack for this morning. It's easy to claim we have faith, right? Anyone can say that they believe in God. Anyone can say a few words or maybe check a box off a list or make a comment or on social media or even answer a question in a survey. You know, Gallup did a poll back in 2017. And when it came just to a simple yes or no question, do you believe in God? Listen, 87% of Americans said that yes, they do believe in God. However, just 1 year later in 2018, Gallup found that U.S. church membership had reached an all-time low of 50%. And 1 in 5 Americans did not identify with any religion whatsoever. You see, faith is easy to claim. It's easy to talk about. It's very difficult to live it out. And what James is going to show us here at the end of chapter 2 of his letter is that those 87% of Americans that say that, yes, they do believe in God, that in fact, their faith, their belief is counterfeit, is not genuine. And he begins by asking just some questions. Listen to what he asks in verse 14 of chapter 2. He says, what good is it, my brothers? And you could write in their sisters as well. What good is it, my brothers? And that word good in the Greek is the word profit or even advantage. And so you could say it like that. You say, what profit is it, my brothers? What advantage is it, my brothers? If someone says he has faith, that word says really in the Greek, it originally meant to lay down to sleep. But it began to take on the meaning to lay an argument to rest or bring a message to a conclusion. So you could say, you know, instead of saying if someone says he has faith, if someone comes to the conclusion that he has faith or if you say you have faith, but, and this is a big but does not have, what's that word? Works. What profit is it? What advantage is it, my brother, if someone says, if someone comes to the conclusion, if someone rests their argument by saying that they have faith but does not have works? You see, the obvious answer that James is getting at is that it's not good, it's not beneficial to claim to have faith but you have no deeds whatsoever in your life to give claim to that credibility. However easy it may be for someone to claim they believe in God, to profess to be a Christian, whatever someone may feel that achieves for them in this life or in the next, James says it accomplishes absolutely nothing for that mere individual. If all it is just a mere profession, if all it is just words from your mouth, it's useless. And in fact, James takes it a step further. He says it's more than useless. Look at what he says at the end of verse 14. Can that faith save him? The answer is absolutely not. That kind of faith, where it's just words only and not action, cannot save you. And herein lies the problem, and which should shake us all to our core this morning is it's possible, hear me, it's possible to say that you believe in God. It's possible to even say that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe that you have genuine saving faith, and James is insinuating, claiming here that indeed it may not be such. You may think you're saved by what you say, but James is getting at is, hold the phone, time out. No, you're not. It's easy to say things like you believe in God and that you have things sorted out with God and you're going to pass from God's judgment. But James steps in and says, hey, wait a minute, you guys. In fact, what's happening is you may well indeed be under God's judgment no matter what you may say. And it's easy to see why James has come to this point in his letter, because he's already shown us that deeds should lead from a true Christian faith. Back in chapter 1, that you should visit the orphan and the widow in their affliction. Last week, we took a look at how they were treating the rich versus the poor and how they were showing favoritism. You see, claiming faith and lacking deeds seems to be the main issue that James is trying to tackle here in his letter. And if that's the case, immediately your mind should go, then how do I know if I have true, genuine faith? How can I know that God has done a saving work in my heart, in my life? Well, James tells us, verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good? That's that word again, good in the Greek back in verse 14, same exact word. What benefit, what profit, what advantage is it or is that? So also verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what is dead. Merely wishing someone good, merely hoping that someone gets things work out in their need, especially when you have the ability to help them in that need, is a big indication that you have not been saved, that you have not had a genuine work of Jesus in your heart. That no matter how much the amount of nice sounding words that you may have for an individual, how sincere or what your intentions may be in your heart, James is getting at is that you, if you have the means to help when you see a brother or sister in need and you don't help, there's something wrong. The connection has been severed. It's useless. It's a sign of lifeless, dead faith because, as I like how one author put it, a deedless Christianity is a dead Christianity. Faith that has no impact on behavior is not authentic Christian faith. It's counterfeit because real faith acts because, as you heard before, the famous two words, love does. Real love does. Real love, when it sees a need, acts on that need. But just like some of you may be this morning, There's always a but, right? There's always that one person. Well, what about this, James? Well, listen, what about this? Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, you see, James, there's different types of Christianity out there. There are those of us that like the mental things. There are those of us that like to read. There's those of us that like to study and learn and get sound doctrine and sound theology. And those are in one side of the camp. And we understand what you're saying. There are those of you that are probably a little bit more practical. You want to be a little bit more hands-on. You want to touch people. You want to reach out and be of use with someone else. In short, you say potato, I say potato, right? Well, see, James, there's just different kinds of Christianity. But with James, that kind of thinking holds no water because listen to what he says. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There isn't this all in your head kind of Christianity, and then those that are my faith is what I do kind of Christians. Your faith is genuine or it isn't. And genuine faith, the kind of faith that will allow you to walk through those pearly gates up in heaven, will always, everyone say always, it will always be expressed in how you live. There's no other way to say it, no other way to cut it. You see, faith is seen by what you do, not in what you say. There's no other way around it. I wish there were. In fact, we're given an example in the Gospels with Christ. You remember the friends that had their paralytic friend, this man that was paralyzed, these group of guys, they got together and they're like, we're going to take our friend to go to Christ because we've heard about Jesus. We've heard what he can do and how he can heal. Let's take our friend to him because if anyone can heal him, Christ can. And they get to the place where Jesus is at and it's packed out, right? It is packed out to the max. Not only is there no room inside the house, there's not even room outside the house. That's how many people have come to see Christ and to hear what he had to say. And you guys know the story, right? The friends, they decide, well, what are we going to do? They're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. And so they take this guy up to the roof. Now, I don't know about you, but you have to be pretty strong to do that. I know they brought a group of guys and whatnot carrying one man. But listen, I tried to throw my daughter in the pool yesterday and her little 72-pound frame. I mean, it was difficult for me to even lift her out and, you know, shove her out into the deep abyss of the pool. I can only imagine a grown man trying to pick him up, carry him up to the roof. And not only that, guess what? They had to go digging. They had to start pulling things out, the thatch and the mud, and they had to start, you know, moving it all. I don't know what the temperature was like that day, but they had to work at it. And what did Christ say? How did Christ commend them? You know the story, Mark chapter 2, verse 5. By the time they get it, listen to what Christ said. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Jesus did not see the effort. He did not commend them for the effort it took to get their friend up on the roof. He didn't pat them on the back for the job well done on the hole that they made in the roof. Listen, what did Jesus see? Mark tells us that Jesus saw their faith. Their faith was a visible thing. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just some kind of belief. Their faith could be seen. And hear me this morning. All true faith is. It's not this some kind of invisible way of how you think about God or knowing certain facts about the Father. It is something seen in how people behave. And if that wasn't enough, go back to James chapter 2, verse 19. James drives the point home even more sharply. Listen to what he says. You believe that God is one, you do well. There's no area of the Christian faith more significant than this. God is one. It is the cornerstone of our biblical understanding of who God is. The Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's foundational. In fact, the Old Testament believers, the Jews, they would recite the Shema every single day. If there was one thing they knew about the Father, it was this, is that God was one. And Jesus also affirmed this fact back in Mark chapter 12 when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He reiterates that in giving his summary of the entire law. It's a creed that has been put in all the Christian creeds up to this point. It's affirmed every single Sunday morning, every Wednesday night when we gather as a body of believers that we declare that our God is one. Yet, this affirmation, this belief of God being one, however true and orthodox that may be, it is not enough. It means nothing to those who are willing or want to reduce the Christian faith to saying the right things. James points out this undeniable but uncomfortable truth. Listen in verse 19, he goes, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? That even the demons have sound doctrine. Even the demons know who God is. They know he is one. Listen, there are no atheists in the demonic realm. Do you hear me? Hell is full of good theology. James says, are you pleased with your right understanding of who God is and your affirmation of who he is? Well, congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. You're no better than the demons. You're at their level. But James also points out this one fact about the demons. He says they also shudder. You see, the demons, the demonic realm, they have an emotional response to who God is. It's not that they're unaffected by their knowledge of God. They are. They know enough about God to tremble at him. But the separation is that they do not obey. It's an emotional response. They shudder, but they are affected by God, but they are not obeying it. They are not obedient to him. And by now, we should have gotten the point. For me right now, that's enough. For me right now, I get to this point in James. I'm like, okay, James, you proved your point. I get it. I'm with you, but James really wants us to understand and get a hold of this truth. And so what he goes even further. Look at verse number 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? It's almost as if you don't need to just get this. You see, you and I need to really, really, really get this and understand this in our soul. And so James starts with Abraham, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, wait a minute. If you've been in church any amount of time, this verse should cause you to question, wait a minute, James, what are you saying? Where are you going at with this? Because it sounds like you're contradicting other parts of Scripture, other parts of the Bible. You remember what Paul told the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, very famous passage, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what Paul wrote. For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But now here in James chapter 2, verse number 24, he says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Well, what is it? Either you're justified by faith or you're justified by works. It can't be both. You see, when we see it as the two riders are being diametrically opposed to one another. And it's so much more important than just, you know, they're not being different in, you know, like who Jesus's great aunt was or what was the color of Moses's hair. Are you tracking with me? This is the foundation of our belief system. This is how we believe someone gets into heaven. This is about salvation. This is about being justified and being right with God. Disagreeing over this fact disagrees with what Christianity is really all about. It could not be more serious. So which is it? Is it by faith or by works that we're justified? As I study and I read, maybe, just maybe, we don't know, right? Because James is not with us, but here's what I suppose is happening. I don't think necessarily James is contradicting Paul, you know, right? Because he knew Paul. He knew about Paul's writing. They've met before. You remember our study in Acts. It's not like James didn't know who Paul was. And I'm sure James had read Paul's writings as it was being circulated among the churches. But maybe, just maybe, James isn't contradicting Paul, but trying to correct what some people have taken Paul to teach out of context. Maybe, just maybe, James is trying to confront this fact of people trying to say, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. It's okay. God will forgive me anyway. I believe in Christ that he is my Lord and Savior, and that's enough. I got Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that tells me. And maybe, just maybe, James is coming in and trying to correct what other believers have taken out of context. Because you remember, you should remember what Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, chapter 6, verse 1. He says this. This is Paul writing. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You see here, Paul is already trying to confront this idea that you can just do whatever you want to do and it's okay because God's grace will forgive you. Paul here in Romans is saying, no, wait a minute, time out. You're taking it out of context. If you keep reading in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, by no means, God forbid. That's not what it's about. This is not about some kind of glib attitude toward repentance and sin. To put it maybe another way is to say it this way. James isn't really addressing how a person is justified, but how you can tell someone is truly justified. He's not necessarily concerned about the means as much as he's concerned about the visible evidence for it. You have our positional righteousness with the Father, and then you have this practical righteousness that is supposed to be lived out daily in our lives. And James says, how can you tell if someone is truly justified? How can you tell if they are saved? How can you tell if they are considered righteous before the Father? The answer is not in what they say. The answer is in how they live. Saving faith is never meant to be alone. It's to be accompanied by deeds, by works, your actions. And James says, just look at Father Abraham. And he also gives one other kind of mind-blowing example as well, Rahab, verse number 25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? You see, Rahab couldn't be any more different than Abraham was. He was a Jew. She was a Gentile. He was rich. She was poor. He was a patriarch. She was a prostitute. But James is telling us that they both illustrate the same point. True faith is shown by your actions, no matter who you are or where you may come from. So James comes to this conclusion, verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So if I could wrap it up and say this, if your faith merely consists of just hearing the word, listening to good messages, listening to praise and worship in your car radio, talking about the word, or maybe even feeling good about the word or certain messages that you hear, James comes in and tells you your faith is dead. James says faith acts on the word. So my challenge this morning is this, church. Is there something in your life that God has revealed to you that you need to do something about, but you're not doing it? Is there something in your walk that you know is contrary to what God's word says? You know, I've said this before. I've had people tell me to my face, I know what God says, but... I know what the Bible wants, but... And I know this isn't a very popular message, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you do not have genuine Christian faith. If you have to have a but behind what you said at the very beginning, you basically negated everything you said at the front end. Is there something in your walk that you know goes contrary to what God has said in his word? My challenge for you is this, act on it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just be like, I know I should do this. I know I need to do that. My intentions are to do this. No, James says, if you believe in God, if you believe God is one, if you have true faith, then you're going to act on what God has told you to do. Let's act on it. Let's be more than just people who talk the talk, but let's walk the walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time that we've had together as a church family. And in the next few moments, as we take communion, as we worship you, Father, we want to be more than just a people that talk about our faith. We want to act it out. We want to live it in our lives. So Spirit, in these next few moments, penetrate our hardness of heart. Penetrate that those areas in our lives where we have shut you out, and may we open up those doors and not just allow you to do work in us, but Father, may we allow that to be shown in what we say and what we do. For it's in your precious Son's name I pray. Amen and amen. I love you guys. David.